American SUVs and pickup trucks are dangerous, and there is irrefutable evidence of this. Their extreme weight and stiff frames makes them dangerous to other vehicles in a crash, which has turned road safety into an arms race that favors those who can afford the biggest and heaviest vehicle. And their blunt vertical front ends, designed entirely for aesthetics, are more dangerous to pedestrians. When a person is hit by a car, they're likely to land on the hood, which would not be particularly enjoyable. But a person hit by one of these trucks is much more likely to be knocked back and impact the ground or be run over by the truck. Which is why research has found that people are 44% more likely to die when hit by an SUV or light truck than they are if hit by a car. For children, that number was found to be 82% higher. And for children under 10, it's 130%. And pickup trucks are even worse. This 2023 Belgian study found that a pedestrian or cyclist hit by a pickup truck had an almost 200% higher risk of fatal injury than if hit by a car. What's worse is that light trucks are also more likely to crash in the first place. Due to their heavy weight and high center of gravity, SUVs have worse handling than a typical car, and they have longer braking distances too. And their high center of gravity also means that they are much more likely to roll over, even at low speeds. Rollover deaths in light trucks were a major problem in the early 2000s, and in response, automobile manufacturers started making their vehicles stronger to avoid crushing the occupants in case of a rollover. A major side effect of this, however, is that the pillars of the vehicle, such as this A-pillar, have become much larger, which reduces visibility. And visibility was already terrible on these trucks because, due to their high height and excessively large hoods, they have insanely huge front blind spots. This NBC News investigation showed that 9 children can sit in front of a typical American SUV and be completely invisible to the driver. Which is why there's been a steep increase in what are known as front-over and back-over accidents. Someone hit or run over by a truck moving at slow speeds simply because the driver could not see them. And it's often a parent running over their own child in their driveway. Understandably, these kind of vehicles can't pass EU safety regulations, which is why they're illegal in Europe, and thankfully, they can't be sold here. Or at least, they're not supposed to be. Due to a regulation loophole, thousands of these dangerous American trucks are being imported into the European Union each year, bypassing safety and emissions standards and making our roads less safe. And even as road safety advocates and city councils across Europe are trying to get the EU to plug these loopholes, recent trade talks with the U.S. threaten to nullify vehicle safety regulations completely, which would open the floodgates to these stupid American trucks in Europe. In October, 75 European organizations, including the city of Amsterdam, where I live, signed a joint letter to the EU Parliament entitled "The Intention to Accept Lower U.S. Vehicle Standards Risks Increasing Deaths and Pollution on EU Roads." Their concern is justified. In the EU, road deaths have decreased by 36% since 2010. But in the US, road deaths have increased by 30% during the same time period. What's worse is that pedestrian deaths in the US have increased by 80% since 2010, and they are now at the highest level they've been since the 1980s. Meanwhile, EU pedestrian deaths have dropped 37% since 2010. There are several cities in the EU that have achieved huge reductions in vehicle fatalities, for example Helsinki, which had 0 road deaths over the past 12 months. They achieved this through many of the things I talk about on this channel, such as safer street design, more automated enforcement systems, and most importantly, lower speed limits. Which is why many municipalities, including Amsterdam, have implemented a city-wide default speed limit of 30 kilometers per hour. But even outside of these progressive cities, there has also been a general steady reduction in road deaths across the entire EU over the past 15 years. And the main contributor to that is improved safety regulations for motor vehicles. This letter to the EU Parliament comes in a response to the recent trade talks underway between the United States and the European Union. As part of a joint statement published in August, the EU said that,
"With respect to automobiles, the United States and the European Union intend to accept and provide mutual recognition to each other's standards."
Mutual recognition is a fundamental principle of EU policy. It is how a product certified in one jurisdiction can be sold in all other jurisdictions throughout the EU. and it's a necessary component of the EU common market. For example, the Good Manufacturing Practice, or GMP legislation, means that a drug manufacturer in the US only needs to be inspected by the US Food and Drug Administration, and then that drug can be sold in the EU without recertification. This makes sense, as it's an effective way to streamline regulations, and it works very well, provided that all jurisdictions involved have a similar certification process for the product that is being mutually recognized. But that is not the case for motor vehicles. EU safety standards for automobiles are significantly higher than they are in the US, both in terms of what is tested, but also who does the testing. US automotive safety testing focuses primarily on occupant safety in typical crash scenarios. One of the only tests that is more strict in the US than in Europe is rollover safety tests, due to the entirely manufactured problem of excessive rollover crashes as American manufacturers started promoting light trucks in the 90s. But if these stupid American trucks weren't so top-heavy and regular-heavy in the first place, these tests wouldn't be so important, and engineering resources could go into other safety features. As a result of these testing differences, EU cars are safer than US cars. A 2015 report found that a typical EU car on US roads would have about a 33% lower risk of serious injury than a typical US model. And this doesn't take into account recent safety improvements in Euro NCAP safety standards. Most notably in 2020 when they introduced the Mobile Progressive Deformable Barrier Test for front-end crashes. It took me a couple of takes to get that test name right, but basically, instead of crashing a car against a solid wall, this test uses a crash between the vehicle and a moving trolley to replicate the other car involved in the crash. An important aspect of this test is how the vehicle manages to share the crash energy. In short, if a vehicle is found to be more dangerous to other vehicles, it will lose points off of its safety rating, which makes sense. Vehicles shouldn't be able to pass safety tests by making the roads more dangerous for everyone else. This is a very common theme when comparing EU to US vehicle safety tests. US testing is myopically focused on the vehicle and its occupants, while Europe tests not just the vehicle, but also how it interacts with other road users. Which is why the Euro NCAP safety rating has four categories, one of them being focused entirely on vulnerable road users. Part of this testing involves pedestrian impacts, and vehicles are scored on how they impact different parts of a person's body. These kind of tests have been around for a long time, which is why it's common for cars in Europe to have hoods with explosive bolts that pop up on impact, or even pedestrian airbags to protect people hit by cars. Notice how on these Tesla cars, the hood has popped up before the dummy head hits the car. They don't do this on their American models because nobody is making them do it. The NHTSA has a proposal for future pedestrian safety tests, but today vehicles sold in the US are not required to pass any kind of pedestrian safety tests at all, which is why their vehicles have been allowed to become so ridiculously dangerous to anybody outside of a car. But all of that aside, even if a crash test in the US is reasonably equivalent to a test in the EU, there's still a massive fundamental difference. In the EU, automobile manufacturers are required to pass a type approval process by independent public authorities to certify a specific vehicle model before it can be released to market. While in the US, all crashworthiness and compliance tests are self-certified by the car manufacturer. The NHTSA does some spot checks, but the vast majority of motor vehicles enter the US market with a "trust me, bro" approach to safety. And if you don't think automobile manufacturers are doing everything they can to cut corners on those self-certification tests, then I have a Ford Pinto to sell you. Incidentally, the Pinto scandal was likely the inspiration for the narrator's job in Fight Club.
Take the number of vehicles in the field, A, multiply it by the probable rate of failure, B, then multiply the result by the average out-of-court settlement, C. A times B times C equals X. If X is less than the cost of a recall, we don't do one.
I also think that the already shocking pedestrian fatality statistics out of the US are understating the dangers, because the US has managed to significantly reduce their pedestrian fatalities by just having fewer pedestrians. Can't have pedestrian deaths if there's no pedestrians. Checkmate, Europe. Outside of a small number of urban cores, the number of people who walk in American cities is vanishingly small. and this is hiding how bad the situation has become. But people actually walk in Europe. So if these trucks become common here, it will be a bloodbath, and for no good reason. So you might be wondering, who benefits from this trade deal and why is the EU considering it at all? Well, first are the American motor vehicle companies who would love to sell their high-margin vehicles in Europe. The only reason why these vehicles became popular in the US in the first place is because automobile manufacturers realized they could bypass regulations by selling work vehicles as consumer vehicles. Then they funneled those profits into marketing to drive demand for these impractical vehicles. Americans didn't love trucks naturally, they were advertised into it. If you want to learn more, the history of this is well documented in the book High and Mighty, written by a Detroit automobile journalist who was writing about the car industry when all of this happened. American automakers would love to do the same thing in Europe, if only they could eliminate those pesky safety regulations. But the real push for this trade deal comes from within the EU itself, mostly from German automobile manufacturers. In April, the US government applied an arbitrary 25% tariff to all cars imported from the European Union, which affected any European automobile manufacturer who relied heavily on the US market. In a recent press release, Volkswagen said that US tariffs would cost the company up to 5 billion euros this year, and that tariffs have reduced their year-over-year profit by 58%. So they are desperate to do literally anything they can to have those tariffs reduced, even if it means risking the lives of millions of Europeans. Plus, I'm sure they are salivating at the idea of importing their high-margin foreign brands into the EU while bypassing safety and emissions regulations. As part of these negotiations, the EU was able to get the Trump administration to reduce the tariff rate from 25% to 15%, at least for now. Of course, I don't know why anybody would trust any trade deals out of the US these days. The other week, Trump arbitrarily increased tariffs on all products from Canada by 10% simply because the Ontario government aired a commercial on right-wing news channels that was literally just a segment of a Ronald Reagan speech about tariffs. It's not even supposed to be legal for a US president to arbitrarily impose tariffs like this, but it's very clear that the American government is no longer following their own laws anyway, so none of that matters anymore. So remind me again why Europe should be willing to cripple our vehicle safety regulations for a country which has proven to be lawless, arbitrary, and vindictive? And it's not like pickup trucks are fundamentally illegal in Europe or something. They just need to pass EU safety testing, which is completely reasonable. If you think that signing a deal like this with the US would be disastrous for Europe, I'll put a link to a site where you can find and contact your member of European Parliament, as well as links to some of the advocacy groups who are fighting this proposed trade deal. And if you'd like to learn more about American light trucks, I have a previous video about how they became popular and the damage they're causing in North America. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to support this channel and the work I do, consider supporting me on Patreon at patreon.com/notchesbikes. Or sign up to Nebula, the independent streaming service, where you'll get early access to my future videos and be able to watch all of my videos ad-free and sponsor-free, as well as the videos of over 200 other talented creators and a growing library of Nebula originals, bonus videos, documentaries, and other films that are only available on Nebula. But if you're still a bit unsure, Nebula now has a 3-day free trial. 3 days isn't enough time to watch all of the great content on Nebula, but we dare you to try. They do have a 2x speed option. When you sign up to Nebula using the link go.nebula.tv/notjustbikes, you'll support this channel financially and get 40% off an annual subscription. Thanks to everyone who supports this channel on Patreon, on Nebula, or even on YouTube by watching this video through to the end. I appreciate it.